You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
So I had to record last week's intro to the show a few days in advance. So I had to record before the March for Our Lives, which was amazing, before the Stormy Daniels interview on 60 Minutes with Anderson Cooper, which was all sorts of amazing. Both events I could have gone off on and unpacked at great length, but timing was off and I had to record something in advance. So I apologize to everybody who was tweeting me asking me, why didn't I talk about March for Our Lives, which I talked about in advance of the March last Tuesday, and it was because I had to record early. Same thing with the Stormy Daniels interview. Love the Parkland kids. Love Stormy Daniels. Love Anderson Cooper and how he talked with Stormy Daniels, a porn star, and interviewed her and mentioned her career in a way that wasn't shaming or stigmatizing, that just accepted a career in porn, a career as that kind of sex worker, as something that someone who might be a parent and obviously as a human being with an intellect can do. Anyway, sorry to everybody who wanted last week's opening to be about those two things. Timing didn't allow for that. This week's opening, I'm reaching back a little bit. Joe Kennedy III, remember him? Robert F. Kennedy's his grandfather, so he's one of those Kennedys. Currently a member of the House of Representatives from Massachusetts, fighting 4th Congressional District. And Joe Kennedy gave the Democratic response to Donald Trump's first State of the Union address back in January, which is 200 years ago in Trump time. It was a good speech, and he sent a powerful message, Kennedy did, not just about Democratic unity, but also sent us a message about his ambitions. Politicians don't take on the unenviable task of delivering a so-to response unless they're thinking about running for higher office, unless they're thinking about running for the highest office. Marco Rubio, Bobby Jindal, both delivered GOP responses to State of the Union addresses when Obama was president before they ran in 2016. Not that their disastrous Soto responses helped either of those guys, of course, but giving the State of the Union response allowed both men to play at looking presidential. Kennedy, during his response, if you'll recall, he delivered his speech to a room full of cheering, clapping students. So he wasn't trying to look presidential. He was trying to look campaigning for presidential. We were supposed to have an easier time imagining Kennedy getting the nom in 2020 after watching that speech. And it worked. A lot of people were imagining Kennedy running for president after his State of the Union response. Joanne Reed of MSNBC included. It may have even crossed my mind. You can tell that Kennedy's State of the Union response landed because it inspired Fox News imbeciles to attack him. Tommy Lahren called Kennedy a nasty little ginger and a limp dick after watching his State of the Union response. So you know it was good if that's where Fox News personalities are going. All right, Kennedy just did a wide-ranging interview with Ezra Klein, host of The Ezra Klein Show, the force behind Vox.com. And it was a wide-ranging interview, which, of course, can be said about all of Ezra's interviews. I'm a fan. Never miss a wonky episode of The Ezra Klein Show. And you can just listen as Kennedy furiously works all the Democratic erogenous zones, resisting Trump, healthcare, jobs, reproductive freedom, immigration, jobs, education, jobs, LGBT rights, jobs, and on and on and on. Kennedy, who tries to sound like he's speaking with urgency but comes across as unctuous, his manic pixie dream candidate routine, that's merely off-putting. What struck me as disqualifying was Kennedy's answers to Klein's questions about legalizing recreational marijuana, which has already happened in the state Kennedy represents in Congress, Massachusetts. Let's listen to this exchange.
I don't feel comfortable saying let's legalize heroin. I mean, that's not where I am on this, but certainly on something like marijuana, I feel comfortable saying, well, we legalize that. We've legalized that in my home state. We've legalized it in D.C. There doesn't seem to be terrible problems. You have a different line on this. So I'm curious, given your concern about the consequences of the illicit trade, how you think about the question of keeping it illicit or beginning to open that up a little bit. So at least what is happening is under the law. You can regulate it. You can watch it. You can keep some control over it.
So this one's this one's a tough one for me because my views are not, do not exactly line up with my own state, and it's something that I am struggling with. I think, look, there's, when it comes to legalization of marijuana, if that is something that society has decided that we want to do, fine. I think we got to be really careful about what exactly that means and how we do it. So we decriminalized it when I was in the court system, when I was trying cases, or shortly thereafter, if I remember the years right, in Massachusetts. When we decriminalized it, it actually had a pretty big consequence for the way that Massachusetts, the prosecutors went about trying cases in terms of, because an odor of marijuana was, at least initially, because marijuana was an illegal substance, if you smelled it in a car, you could search a car. When it became decriminalized, you couldn't do that. So that was the way that we had the base case that prosecutors used to search cars that undercovered contraband, guns, knives, a whole bunch of other stuff. All of that got thrown out the window. That's not to say that's right or wrong, but that is to say when that went through a public referendum, which is how that law was passed, I don't think anybody had much thought to, you're actually going to change one of the foundational principles for law enforcement that we use in our court system.
Did you catch that? Kennedy's beef with legalizing pot is that doing so, as they did in Massachusetts, it stopped cops from randomly pulling people over and searching their cars. And he cites this, the ability of the police to search basically anyone's car at any time, so long as the cop remembers to put "thought I smelled pot" in the incident report, as a foundational principle for law enforcement and something that voters didn't have in mind when they legalized recreational marijuana. Something, of course, voters have had to do in multiple states because our elected officials are too cowardly to do it themselves, despite overwhelming public support for legalizing marijuana. What Kennedy is pining for here amounts to a stop and frisk program for people in cars, or a stop and harass racial minorities in cars program. Stop and frisk, which is a program where police in New York City would randomly stop random people, the overwhelming majority of whom happened to be black or brown, on the street and search them, was declared unconstitutional by the courts, and all sorts of social science research found it to be wildly ineffective. And if it's not okay and not helpful to randomly stop people on the street and search their persons for no reason, it's not okay. And it is not helpful to randomly stop people in vehicles and search their cars for a subjective, bullshit, easily abused reason like something smells funny. And I'm sorry, Kennedy's claim that voters weren't aware that they were depriving law enforcement officials of the ability to harass suspected pot smokers is bullshit. Preventing cops from harassing people, primarily black and brown people who might have weed on them, was one of the top reasons I voted to legalize marijuana in Washington State in 2012 when we had the opportunity here, and I was not alone. In every state where there's been a vote, people have cited the abuse of marijuana statutes, the racist abuse of marijuana statutes, to harass black and brown people who are arrested disproportionately at disproportionately greater rates, despite the fact that they don't use marijuana at greater rates than white people, as one of the reasons to support decriminalization and legalization. Later in the interview, Kennedy falsely pits public health financing against marijuana legalization, that instead of talking about legalization, we should be talking about marijuana and substance abuse as a public health problem and funding public health programs that can help people who have problems with drugs. You know where you can get money to pay for public health programs? Taxing marijuana sales. We've raised $500 million here in Washington State with a legal regulated marijuana market, and a lot of that new public money is being spent on public health. These are not at war with one another. It's not like the choice is legal marijuana or public health fully funded. You can have legal marijuana and fully funded public health. The false choice. In conclusion, I personally, I don't know about Joy Ann Reid or anybody else, but I personally am no longer fantasizing about Joe Kennedy III running for president, because Joe Kennedy III on the subject of pot and policing sounds a little bit too much like Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III for my comfort. All right, before we get to your calls, I want to let everyone in Arizona know that I am coming to the Scottsdale Museum of Contemporary Art this Thursday, April 5th, 7 p.m. Go to smoca.org and click on Out at Smoca, Dan Savage, to get tickets. They're $20. I am bringing Impeach the Motherfucker Already lapel pins to the event. Every ticket holder will be given an Impeach the Motherfucker Already lapel pin. They're gorgeous. They're enamel. They're subtle. You can wear them at work. It's going to be a moderated conversation. I'm looking forward to visiting Scottsdale and speaking with everybody about Pride and whatever else the moderator and the audience wish to discuss. Again, go to smoca.org for tickets, April 5th, 7 p.m. See you there. All right, coming up on today's show on the micro free edition of the Savage Lovecast, tons of your cues, lots of my A, and on the Magnum subscription edition of the Savage Lovecast that you can subscribe to at savagelovecast.com, twice as long and no ads. Kristen Mark joins us to talk about the results of her new research on how to maintain sexual desire in long-term relationships, how people do that. Kristen Mark, PhD, here to discuss all on today's show. This episode is brought to you by Movement Watches. Good-looking watches, bracelets, sunglasses, and gifts at great prices. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/savage. This episode is brought to you by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first order with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/savage. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Aptiv. Aptiv produces audio-based workouts created by certified personal trainers available through a mobile app. New members get 20% off an annual membership. Visit aptiv.com/savage. That's aaptiv.com/savage.
Hi, Dan, a 25-year-old male calling from Ireland. I have a question regarding a colleague at work sending me pornography. It started out with him sending me a short video at my DMs on Instagram, and it was a pretty harmless softcore video. But today he sent me a video while standing over me, asked if he could send me it through WhatsApp, which turned out to be a hardcore pornography video. This was at work during working hours, and I was pretty shocked that he didn't really react. In fact, he more or less laughed at me while I opened the video. This guy is otherwise actually a pretty nice guy, but I felt like I really needed to go to HR about the issue. The only worry I have is that this guy recently had a newborn baby, and I know that by going to HR, it's an instant fireable offense. And I'm pretty tired. I don't want to do that to a guy who's just had a baby. But also, I don't want this kind of thing to continue and happen to other co-workers. So I'm just looking for your advice on the particular issue about what I should do. Should I go to HR? Should I go to him? Or should I just maybe let it slide and hope it doesn't happen again?
A baby is not a get out of fireable offenses free card. Shouldn't be used as one. He didn't use it as one, though. He didn't say, oh, but I have a baby. Don't go to HR. You're concerned about the guy being unemployed right after he had a baby. If I were in your shoes, I would go to this guy and say, look, having a new baby in the house, people get no sleep. Sometimes when people aren't getting any sleep, their judgment is impaired. So I'm coming to you this one time, and I am telling you, don't fucking do that. You can't send porn via WhatsApp or any other way to a colleague in a work setting or even a non-work setting and hover over them while they watch hardcore pornography. That's a fireable offense. You just had a baby. You have a new baby at home. If I were the kind of person whose first impulse would be to take this to HR as opposed to address it with you directly, you would lose your job. Dude, smarten up. Get some more sleep. Remember when you're with your mates in the pub versus with your colleagues at work, and keep it appropriate to the situation that you're in and the people that you're with. And then if it happens again, you go to HR.
Hi, Dan. I am having sort of a dilemma. I recently went on a date with a guy that went really, really well. It was a second date. He asked me almost immediately the next day after our first date if he wanted to do something together. And I agreed. And we went. It was supposed to be just a quick date doing one of his passions, which is climbing, and it was really fun, and we ended up spending 12 hours together. We, you know, baked, we cooked, we had sex. It was awesome. We talked about what we were going to do together. He even helped me furniture shop on my computer. It was just really nice, and it felt very promising. And I texted him the next day saying, you know, have a great day at work. Thanks for hanging out with me yesterday. And he responded and it was good. Like, he sent me a smiley face and sent a nice message, and then nothing. I mean, nothing. I messaged him the day after that saying, hey, let's do some yoga together, because we had talked about it, and just dead silence. I definitely feel like he's ghosting me, but I've never had a date like this that just went this way, like that badly, where I really misread everything. I feel really crazy. I definitely thought he was into me. I mean, like 200% sure. Also, I have this fear that he's dead. It's surprising to hear from you.
Yeah, I bet, because you called a couple of weeks ago. We all just listened to your question about the mountain climber who ghosted on you. And I assume at this point, if he pulled a Beauregard Jackson Pickett Burnside and fell off the Matterhorn, that's a MAME reference for all the musical theater fans out there, that you would know that by now if he were dead at the bottom of a crevasse somewhere.
Yeah, so I really thought he did die, but about like 40 hours after I sent that message, he finally responded, but in a way that sounded like it was a response an hour later. Like, he responded, like, I was like, hey, do you want to go to yoga? And he was like, 40 hours later, yeah.
Oh my God.
Sure.
So did you go to yoga? What's the status of your relationship now?
I mean, good. Like, I've seen him much more regularly. It's really crazy. I actually brought it up to him when I saw him. I was like, hey, so, like, it's very casual. I was like, hey, so, like, it's kind of strange that you don't respond right away. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm like really bad at texting. I was like, well, could you just text sooner, because it makes me go a little bonkers. And he was like, oh yeah, I'll step up my game. And then he actually did. It was like the craziest thing.
Oh my God, that's wonderful. So you're still fucking this mountain climbing dude. He's probably got a great fucking butt and terrific legs as a result of all the mountain climbing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I love this story. This is a happy ending.
This is a happy ending in every way.
So yeah. A lot of people out there, if they had texted someone they had a great weekend with or a great night with, and they didn't hear back right away, and there was silence for 40 hours, however long it was, and then it was this enigmatic response.
Yeah, that's how
response.
You blow someone off.
Yeah, a lot of people would be like, fuck you. I'm not going to yoga with you or touching your penis ever again. And I hope you fall off the Matterhorn like Beauregard Jackson Pickett Burnside and make Mame a widow. Not me. You go make Mame a widow. But you were willing to give him another chance and then clearly state your needs.
Yeah.
It freaks me out, particularly in the context of the cultural phenomena right now of ghosting. Was he aware of that cultural phenomena?
And no, he seems to be unaware of like a lot of those kinds of things. Like, it seems like he just hasn't dated in a long time. And so
he was clueless as to how this might be read.
Yes. I was like, you can't sleep with someone and then disappear, which is exactly what he did. So I'm really glad that he responded to my feedback.
I am glad he responded to your feedback, too. And I'm glad you gave him a second chance. Sometimes you do have to give people second chances. I get annoyed when people are really rigid about somebody puts a foot wrong and they're out, they're gone. Because who amongst us has not put a foot wrong or done something out of ignorance, not malice? And completely not aware of how it might come across because you just didn't get the memo?
Yeah, yeah. I think he just had no idea. So I've taught him something at least.
You have. And sounds like you're going to go bake. Or what did you do on the top of the mountain? You listed all these things you did on the top of the mountain, including bake. How do you bake on top of a mountain? You take an easy bake oven up with you in a backpack?
I think there wasn't baking at the mountain. We climbed and then we went to his house.
Oh, see, I thought you climbed and then you baked a cake or something. It sounded like you climbed and then you had all that you would need to Martha Stewart it up on the top of the mountain. You came down the mountain and then baked.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. We went to it was baking in his kitchen, so.
Wow. Well, I'm glad. So you have no problems. You do not need me.
I have no problem. I mean, my problem was like extreme when I called because I was analyzing everything I'd ever done. Like, I can't, maybe I said something, like maybe I didn't bake well enough. Like, I don't know what I did. And then it was just like that he was completely clueless.
My
so.
Scones were too crumbly.
Yes. My mind went to crazy places. I had like, I lost sleep over it. I was like, I don't know the world anymore. I don't understand. So
anyway.
Well, we're glad for you. And because we got you on the phone and wasted your time when you didn't have a problem, if you have a problem in the future, your call, call me back. If something else comes up in this relationship and you need my help, your call goes to the front of the queue and we'll take it right away.
Okay, awesome. Okay, perfect. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Hey, everybody. I want to tell you about Movement watches. Watches are one of those subtle style choices that people rarely notice. A nice looking watch makes you look sharp. It certainly makes my husband, look sharp. And he loves his Black Link Movement watch. Movement has come far from being crowdfunded kids working out of a living room. In the past year, they've not only introduced a ton of new watch collections for both men and women, but also expanded to sunglasses and fashion-forward bracelets for women. Movement watches are all about looking good and keeping it simple. Movement watches don't tell you how many steps you're taking or blow your wrist up with text messages. It tells time and it looks good doing it. And personally, I much prefer a man with a watch on his wrist that is just a watch, not another distracting screen. Movement watches start at just $95. At a department store, you're looking at $400 to $500. Movement's able to do that because they figured out that by selling online, they were able to cut out the middlemen and retail markup, providing the best possible price to you. With Movement watches, you'll get classic design, quality construction, and styled minimalism. And you'll get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/savage. See why Movement keeps growing? Check out their expanding collection. Go to mvmt.com/savage and join the movement.
Hey, Dan, I have a question about air travel etiquette and sex toys. My husband and I were unable to take a honeymoon right when we got married, so we're taking a much delayed honeymoon in a few weeks, and I'm super excited. And I'd like to take my vibrator with me, but I don't know what proper etiquette is for packing it in a suitcase. I kind of dread the thought of, like, the TSA inspectors, like, looking through my luggage for drugs, opening up, and boom, there's my vibrator just there. Like, should I, like, put it in a sock or conceal it? Or should I just leave it there for the whole suitcase inspector world to see? What's polite? Do they see these things all the time? Will they try to take it apart and see if I shoved weed inside? Like, what's polite? What's proper? And how do I pack my vibrator for my honeymoon?
They see sex toys, TSA agents. They see them every day. My husband is Diamond Medallion on Delta. He flies a lot. I'm almost a million miler. They've seen all of ours, and they're used to it. And they have a sense of humor about it, in my own personal experience. Here's what you want to do, though. Don't bury a dildo deep inside your bag or a vibrator or an e-stim unit or whatever else, whatever other kind of sex toys you're traveling with. Don't bury them deep inside in the hopes that they'll be obscured. The X-ray is going to find your dildo or vibrator. And if it's an irregular-looking sex toy, which is an expression that I heard come out of a TSA agent's mouth, if it's an irregular-looking sex toy, they're going to want to have a look at it. And you're not going to want them to have to turn your bag upside down and dump everything out at that moment to find your vibrator and have a look at it. So pack it right on top so that if they do need to take a look at the vibrator in your bag, it's sitting right there when they zip it open right on top for them to have a peek at. And they will close your bag right back up. And a lot of people bitch and complain and moan about TSA and TSA agents, and there are some bad ones out there. There are tens of thousands of TSA agents at work every day in the United States. Some of everybody is shitty, so some of those people are going to be shitty and people have bad experiences. But my own personal experiences with TSA agents, professionals and chill. And the ones who've been on the job for more than a week, they've seen everything. Blue Apron is the leading meal delivery kit in the United States, certainly the leading delivery service in my kitchen. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. And with Blue Apron, your meals contain farm-fresh seasonal produce, meat with no added hormones, sustainably sourced seafood, and other solid, wholesome ingredients to make delicious chow. You'll be able to whip up great meals all in under 45 minutes and without a trip to the grocery store. They offer a two-person plan, a family meal plan, and a wine plan. It's convenient, it's flexible, and super high quality. Terry and I love it, and you should give it a try. If you have teenage children, children going off to college, getting them on Blue Apron or gifting them Blue Apron once they go to college is a great way to teach kids how to cook too. Coming up on the menu this month, seared steaks with lemon parmesan kale and roasted potatoes, and cumin-spiced wonton noodles with vegetables and peanuts, one of their awesome vegetarian options. We eat vegetarian two nights a week at our place, thanks to Blue Apron. And Blue Apron is treating Savage Lovecast listeners to your first three meals, a $30 value with your first order if you visit blueapron.com/savage. So check out this week's menu and get $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/savage. A great way to support the Lovecast and a great way to get some delicious chow. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Hey, Dan. This is a straight married woman in a major East Coast city. I went out with a bunch of friends past weekend. We had some friends, some visitors in town, and we wanted to go dancing. We did some drugs that made us want to dance, and we went to this like fun dance club that we've been to a few times before, and turned out that it was LGBT night, LGBTQ night. We didn't really realize that until we were already there and dancing, and we just decided to stay, which I felt a little conflicted about. Felt a little bit like we were sort of invading a space for that these people had created for themselves, because all of us were straight. Most of us are in couples. But it was really fun. We were dancing, and I ended up getting approached by this like adorable girl. And she asked me if I was single and if I was gay. And I told her that I was married, but bi, which is not really true. I've never, ever kissed a girl before or even really thought about it. We ended up making out, which my husband is totally cool with, and exchanging numbers. And now it's a couple of days later, and I don't really know what to do. I don't really see where this could go. I don't know if I would ever want to, like, do anything more than make out with a girl, and I am married and basically straight, but I keep thinking about her, and I want to text her or something, but I don't know if that's just kind of, like, fucking with her.
There are definitely women out there who are annoyed when married, maybe bi, women show up in queer bars or queer spaces looking to pick up a lesbian or a bisexual woman, expecting that they can just march into a queer space as a married, cisgendered, opposite sex relationship, having perceived to be straight, moving through the world, maybe self-identifies as straight, as you do, and just expect that the universe or the queer community owes them a same-sex experience, and that you're entitled to go to the lesbian store and pick up a lesbian as a straight-ish married lady. That's not what went down in this case. You went to this bar. It happened to be queer night. You hung out. Straight people are allowed in queer bars. Straight people are in regular bars, mostly straight, regularly, usually straight bars on queer night. You hung out. Somebody approached you. You didn't blow up. You didn't act like a homophobe. You just let that person know, that woman know, that you were there with your husband, that you were married. And you were inspired at that moment by a brand new experience of same-sex attraction to tell her that you were maybe bi. And then she opted in. Then she wanted to make out with you. She wanted to exchange phone numbers with you. She is down for you, for who you are and how you are situated. So take yes for an answer. This isn't you feeling entitled to run down to the lesbian store and pick up a lesbian. This is, you were in a queer space, a queer person approached you, you gave that queer person the information that was relevant that they might need to make an informed decision about whether they wanted to continue to pursue you, and this person obviously wishes to continue to pursue you. So you can allow yourself to be pursued without guilt. So return her text messages. Tell her who you are, straight. You've never actually been with a woman before, but you are very curious, particularly about her. Maybe this is her passion. Maybe this is her hobby. Maybe this is the kind of outside sexual contact that she's permitted in the context of her committed relationship that, for all you know, she is in right now, where they have an open relationship and her girlfriend is fine, or her wife is fine with her occasionally picking up somebody else who is themselves in a committed relationship and doesn't therefore present a threat to their relationship. You don't know what's going on with her, and there's only one way to find out. I could speculate endlessly. There's only one way to find out for sure what's going on with her, and that's to continue to speak with her. hopefully with your husband's consent and awareness. Have you clued him in to this? Another thing you're going to have to discuss with this woman, if you do proceed to some sort of beyond making out contact with her, is what role your husband expects to play in this. Maybe she's up for a sexual adventure involving the both of you. Maybe she's by herself. Or maybe she's just interested in you and you alone and you solo at some point for a night, for a weekend. How's your husband going to feel about that? You also need to have a conversation with him about what he's comfortable with, not just a conversation in your head about what this woman may or may not be comfortable with. When she's already clearly communicated to you with her tongue that she is comfortable with you and the situation that you're in. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Aptiv. Aptiv produces audio-based workouts created by certified personal trainers available through a mobile app. Aptiv offers expert trainers for the best results and motivation, a flexible audio workout format so you can work out the way you like, and a variety of classes and levels to keep you engaged. Whenever or wherever you like to work out, at the gym, at home, outside, when you're traveling for business, Aptiv is ready to go along with you with their mobile app. Literally, your personal trainer is in your pocket. Whether you're interested in running, strength training, indoor cycling, stair climbing, yoga, or even meditation, Aptiv trainers give you the guidance you need to be better at the types of exercises you love, delivered in a flexible audio format to make fitness a lasting part of your routine. You can search the app by difficulty, music, genre, and duration so you can find a workout you love every time. I spend a lot of time working out, as does my husband, and Aptiv makes it so much easier to get in the groove. Subscriptions start at $14.99, billed monthly, or $99.99 for an annual membership. For a limited time, new members get 20% off an annual membership, so it's just $79.99 for the whole year of unlimited workouts. Visit aptiv.com/savage. That's aptiv.com/savage.
Hey, Dan. By female calling, I'm in a six-year monogamous relationship. And, of course, I want to fuck other people, not because our sex life isn't great, because it is. Just, you know, that energy with new people is so strong. And my partner and I have talked about it on and off for the 6 years that we've been together. And like, I plan on spending the rest of my life with him, but here's the thing. So if I were just a fully evolved human and fine, I would be totally cool with him fucking other women, but it just turns my stomach into a knot thinking about it, which is so hypocritical because I want to fuck other men and other women. And I might be going away all summer, and it could be a possibility that we open things up while I'm away. So I'm just curious what your pointers are for like facing that jealousy and processing it and like being a good human in a monogamish situation.
I'm always encouraging people to know themselves, to figure out what it is they want, what it is they're capable of, and what their preferred relationship model might be. And, you know, if you're incapable of honoring a monogamous commitment, if that's something that you learned about yourself over the course of your first few relationships, and it can sometimes take time and error to figure that out because the culture bullies us all into making monogamous commitments that we may not be able to keep because the culture tells us that monogamy means love and monogamy is what good people do and we all want to be in love and feel capable of loving someone in return, and we all want to be good people. So a lot of us who aren't capable of honoring a monogamous commitment wind up making those monogamous commitments. If what you discover about yourself over the course of your first relationships is that you can't and shouldn't make that monogamous commitment, then don't going forward. What you've discovered about yourself or what you know about yourself, congratulations, is that you would like to have sex with other people, men and women, but you don't want to let your partner do the same because you're too jealous. There is a solution. There is a workaround for that. That's called being in a cuckold femdom relationship where you have liberties and freedoms that your partner does not. But if your partner isn't a cuckold and he isn't submissive and doesn't want to be in a femdom cuckold relationship, that solution isn't going to work for you. So your options are to open the relationship up for yourself and for him and to stare down your jealousy. It'll help to remind yourself that just as you're capable of having sex with someone else without feeling any less attracted to or in love with your partner, he is capable or should be capable of doing the same. Often jealousy is rooted in fear. Sometimes it's rooted in a desire to control someone else, and it can be abusive. Often, though, it is rooted in fear and fear of the unknown. What will happen if I allow my partner to be with someone else? And the only way for your partner to prove that they can be with someone else and not feel any less attracted to you or in love with you, any less committed to you, is for them to go off and be with someone else and return home and be just as in love with you, just as committed to you as they were before they slept with someone else. So sometimes the only way through the particular kind of jealousy that is blocking you right now, that you're experiencing right now, is to bite the fucking bullet and move through it, to have the experiences, to allow your partner to show you that they can fuck someone else and come home to you and love you just as intensely, if not more intensely, because being with you now also means they have this freedom that they didn't have, and they have to credit you and credit the relationship for that, in the same way that you can run off and fuck somebody else and feel just as intensely for him and just as in love as you are right now with him. Those are really your options. Put cuckold femdom on the table, see how he reacts. Maybe it's what he's always wanted, been afraid to ask for, but probably not. Probably not what he wants. Very few men actually do want that. I want to conclude by saying if it's good for the gander, it's got to be good for the goose. If it's going to be open for you, it has to be open for him. There are lots of people out there in partly open relationships where one person gets to go do X and the other person doesn't go do X, not because they don't get to, because they don't want to. Some people wish to have sex with other people besides their partners and are lucky enough to be partnered to people who can allow for that, aren't threatened by that, but feel no particular need to have sex with other people themselves. That would be a little bit like winning the lottery for you in the circumstance that you're in. But it has happened. Some people look at that and think, oh, that's unfair. She has sex with other people. He doesn't. But the filter through which we should look at that is, are they both doing what they want and getting what they want? And if what she wants is sex with other people and that doesn't bother or upset him, and what he wants is only sex with her and he's still getting that and he's not upset, then it works for you guys. What can seem unbalanced or unfair or not egalitarian to an outside observer can be experienced by both people in a relationship as very fair. So it's sort of a cuckold style without the cuckold gloss, without the humiliation, without the control, without the dominance, just with one person free to and the other person not unfree, just without a desire to.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 25-year-old gay guy living in New York City with my boyfriend. We've been together since we were 19, and we're still very much into our relationship. But as you might have guessed, we're kind of curious about what it would be like to be with other guys, and we've been talking about opening our relationship, and we're just in the process of doing that. The thing is that last summer, I found out that my boyfriend was seeing another guy a few times a week throughout the summer, and he was keeping it a secret from me. And the hooking up part about it didn't really hurt me as much as all the lies around it. And since then, I'm able to get over that feeling of hurt and anger. And we both have really come together, and our relationship is in a better place than it was before. So now that we're talking about opening our relationship, my boyfriend has brought up the idea of wanting to have a threesome with the guy he cheated on me on with. I really do not like all the negative and difficult emotions I have associated with him, so the thought of doing anything with him really scares me. On the other hand, I have largely gone over all that and wouldn't mind having a threesome. My boyfriend is more shy than I am, and I feel like this could be a good opportunity to start having sex with other people. Still, I'm not sure if I should be okay with doing this, and I don't know what to do about my boyfriend who keeps bringing it up despite how uncomfortable I am with the idea. So my question is, am I hanging on to the past too much, or is it legitimate for me to say that this is too much to ask? A part of me thinks my boyfriend is just being selfish. How can I get him to understand how difficult this is for me?
So when your relationship was closed, when you guys were monogamous, your boyfriend saw someone else for sex twice a week all summer long and lied to you about it. And now that you guys are going to practice ethical non-monogamy, both of you, he wants to have a three-way with the person that he cheated on you with twice a week for roughly 12 weeks over the course of last summer. One of the things you need to have a successful open relationship is good communication. And to have good communication, you kind of need a decent, slightly above average emotional intelligence quotient. You need a good emotional IQ. And your boyfriend's inability to see why this particular guy might not be the right guy for you two to have your first three-way with leads me to believe that he doesn't have the emotional IQ that he needs to be in a successful open relationship where he's able to empathize with his partner and put himself in your shoes and understand how you might feel and make choices accordingly, make choices that leave you feeling safe and prioritized. And this choice isn't going to make you feel either of those things. You've forgiven him. Maybe it's a little unfair, but this is often how people do it when they want to save the relationship. They forgive the cheater, but they hold on to a little resentment for the person that the cheater that they're forgiving cheated on them with. Maybe they even shift some of the resentment that rightly should be directed toward the cheater to the person that they cheated with. In the interest of saving the relationship, in the interest of the greater good, that transference sometimes needs to happen. Sometimes it is the thing that allows, it's the patch that allows the program to continue to run and work. And it's not perfect, but there it is. You also wrote me a letter. You didn't just call. You wrote in about your problem. And in the letter that you wrote to Savage Love, my column, you indicated that you too, at 25, had moved to New York City. There are other faggots in New York City that you guys can have a three-way with. That the options aren't just this guy. This one other guy, he's not the only other gay guy in New York City who might be interested in a three-way with a couple of 25-year-olds. I promise you there are more. You say your boyfriend is shy and he feels comfortable with this person, obviously. This person he had sex with twice a week for a whole summer, lying to you. Yeah, obviously comfortable with that person. But you're not comfortable with that person, so that person is disqualified. Maybe it's on you then to go find a third if your boyfriend is shy. You're going to have to be the extrovert to set up the three-way. You run your joint grinder account or your joint profile at whatever pickup app you guys want to use to find your particular ideal third, someone who represents a fresh start, not somebody who represents a lot of baggage and hurt from the past. The three-way and the opening up is about your future. Your future together as a couple in an ethical non-monogamous relationship. Reaching into your past, reaching back toward the unethical non-monogamy that your boyfriend had been practicing is not going to set the right tone going forward. Not the right move. Tell your boyfriend, absolutely not. Not this guy. Not ever. And then you two get out there with you taking the lead and find some other guy.
Hey, Dan. I have found myself over and over again in this situation where, you know, the first time that I'm making out with somebody or whatever, that like they start choking me or like, you know, I'm kind of a big girl. So they start like, you know, grabbing my belly or like other things that are just like, you know, are biting me really hard. Things that like I'm okay with, but like I really feel like that these people should ask first, but they don't want to ask and they don't ask. And so I'm wondering like, what should I do in this situation? Like, because like, I want to say, hey, you know, that was like slightly uncomfortable or like you should have asked first, but like, then I feel a little bit too uncomfortable myself to do that. And like, you know, in the heat of the moment, like if I'm being bitten or something, you know, that's like really sensual, like it's hard to know how to respond and how to de-escalate in that situation. So what I'm asking for is a script. What can I say? What can other people say? And can you just make a public service announcement about asking for consent for these things, which not everyone considers to be a big deal, like choking or whatever? Because it is hot, you know, I'm not denying that, but like consent needs to be established.
It's a weird position to be in. Oh, you choked me and I liked it and it was hot, but what I didn't like and what wasn't hot and kind of pulled me out of the moment was that you didn't get my consent in advance of pulling a move that a lot of people wouldn't like. You lucked into pulling it on someone who did like it, but what you communicated to me at that moment is the consent, your partner's consent, kind of doesn't matter to you. And so what else are you going to try? What else are you going to pull on me without any regard for how I might feel about it? And even though you lucked into a situation where the moves you were making were moves I enjoy, you're not always going to be so lucky. And there could be traumatized women in your past and traumatized women in your future. Are you cool with that? Because I don't want to be with the kind of guy who's cool with, for his own reasons, because he's sexually selfish and inconsiderate, fine with traumatizing people. Didn't traumatize me. I like those things. But now I have my doubts about you, the kind of person you are and how you treat women. Again, even though you lucked into treating me the way I like to be treated. But that was just the odds. Next time, verify. That's what I would say to him. I would also reemphasize for the 100 millionth time the four magic words, what are you into, that all same-sex couplings begin with. Two dudes are going to go to bed together, first time. They get to consent. They're clearly into each other. They're going to have sex. They're making out in the bar. They're headed home. At some point, one or the other or both have to say, dude, what are you into? It's very empowering at that moment to get to rule anything in, rule anything out. And we're forced to say it. It's not like we're highly evolved sexually. We have to say it because we can't make assumptions. We can't default to vaginal intercourse, PIV, because we have two P's and two A's and there's no default setting. We have to have a conversation. And at that moment, people will say, I'm not into rough sex, or I'm not into anal, I'm into this, I'm into that. And that's what straight people should do. Take the four magic words. What are you into? And at that moment, you could say, he could say, really kind of like it rough and tossing people around and biting and gently choking. Please, people, choking is risky and dangerous. We've talked about this a lot on the show. Be very careful. And then you can say, oh my God, that's my favorite thing. Rough sex, I'm down. What are you into? Rough sex. Oh, great, me too. What are you into? Rough sex. Yeah, at some point, maybe in the future, at least initially in a relationship, I'm not comfortable, like a lot of rough moves. Communicate. A lot of straight people out there do communicate, but a lot don't because they're not required to, because the biology and mechanics and plumbing don't force them to have that conversation about consent and about what are you into. And the what are you into conversation is a conversation about consent. But all same-sexers have that combo, have to have that combo, can't have same sex without that combo. So the script I would suggest for you going forward, if this keeps happening, you can initiate the what are you into in advance. You can ask that question and suss the guys out. You're not required in the moment. If the move someone is making, if the what he's pulling is stuff that you happen to enjoy, you can just roll with that. But afterwards, you might want to check in and say, wow, you lucked out. That like varsity level kind of rough sex move, I dig that. But you didn't know that I would dig that? And you have to have been in circumstances in the past where you tried that on a woman who wasn't into it? And the odds that a woman who wasn't into it would just play along and defer and be miserable and unhappy and feel unsafe are really high. Are you down with making women feel that way? Because I don't want to be with someone who's down with making women feel that way, who doesn't care about how the woman feels in the moment. I enjoyed it. Not all women would, though. So that's a conversation you and I are going to need to have right now if you ever want to get in my pants again.
I'm calling about episode 596, the gentleman who's dating the woman who believes crazy conspiracy theories. I had a slightly different take than Dan did, because it's really frustrating to deal with somebody like that. I don't want to be in your situation. I don't envy it. That being said, please don't dump this person because of it. Make them dump you over it. Fight her every step of the way. It doesn't have to be malicious. Be convincing. Know these points better, more front and back than she does. On vaccines, there are a billion and one stories about there about how the anti-vax movement is total bullshit. When it came to Pizzagate, everything along these lines, there are a million and one stories out there from credible news sources that disprove every single one of these things. And guess what? Even though it would be totally easy to say, all right, I don't want to put up with crazy, crazy still gets to go out and vote, and crazy does not lose her reproductive rights. So when she goes out and leaves you, she'll find somebody who also believes crazy shit. They will have 10 unvaccinated kids, four of whom will survive to voting age, and then vote for Donald Trump Jr. and Alex Jones in 2054 when we're all completely fucked. So please don't dump her. Do what you can to make sure that she is convinced of reality. And if you don't, if that's too much for her and she leaves you, okay. Hey, no big deal, but at the very least, then you can say you tried.
An extra little note for the baby girl whose daddy plays the other couple. She doesn't describe what sort of couple her daddy is playing with. So it's probably, you know, a safe bet that it's probably not another, you know, daddy little couple. And it's possible that it's not that they're not into her, but it's possible that, you know, they're just a little put off by the daddy baby girl dynamic. She shouldn't necessarily regard it as a personal thing. Now, that is still a conversation she needs to have with her daddy, but I just thought I'd offer that little extra bit of reassurance that maybe it's not, you know, that they're not into her, it's just that they're just not into that sort of play. And, you know, and that's fine. You know, that's It's just one of those things. You know, not everybody's into everything. Something to consider, and, you know, might be something worth, you know, addressing with the daddy.
Hi, I'm just calling in reference to the sweet-sounding guy who called in about his herpes and his curved dick. And I just wanted to say, caller, I love a curved dick. And I think I speak for a lot of ladies. We love a little, you know, something a little with a little curve to it. So don't worry too much about it. You will find the right vagina that fits your penis. And I hope you find it soon.
And we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you'd like to record a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz. 206-302-2064. Everyone here at the Savage Lovecast wants to wish Nicole a happy birthday, as does Damien, who asked us to wish you a happy birthday on his behalf. Follow me on Twitter at @FakeDanSavage. Follow Kristen Mark, PhD, on Twitter at Kristen with a K underscore Mark. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech savvy at-risk youth and Nancy. We'll all be back at you next week with an installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for downloading.